Good evening. I'm really grateful that you're back. I hope tonight you'll be encouraged again by the Word of God and by the lesson tonight. I'm really thankful for all your support and for what you mean to my family and I as a congregation. So you've probably seen maybe you've seen already the title of tonight's lesson, and we're going to stick to that title. And it's the title for tonight, it's called The Sons of the Prophets. And I'm going to interchange it between the sons of the prophets and the school of the prophets. And it's a really rewarding subject for one to study when we talk about the school of the prophets. But prophets, when we think about who they were God's spokesmen. That's what a prophet was. Not necessarily telling the future, but telling what God told them to tell, whether it was present or whether it was in the future. That's the role of a prophet. Someone compared the prophet to a priest, and they said a priest is a man who had been to the people bringing back the offering to God, whether a prophet is a man that has been to God bringing God's message back to the people. And I believe that's a really great comparison between the prophet and the priest. So relative to the message they were given, they were not to add to it. They were not to interpret for God. They were simply to receive a message and go and tell that message just the way it is. It makes me think of translating. Sometimes I get the opportunity to translate for other preachers, and it's our responsibility to stick to the words of the preacher. Sometimes we like to be funny and say other things just to make people laugh, but that's just part of it. Sometimes I like to say, whenever the speaker is first preaching or saying some introductory remarks, I like to say, well, he just said that please let Raphael be in line first for the potluck. And people really like that. They think that was really funny. But we have the responsibility to just say it word for word what the other person is saying. Same thing is in translating Bible. Some translators try to take the job of interpreting and putting their opinions on the translations of the Bible. And that's not the role of a prophet. So when we talk about the school of the prophet, we're going to learn that we had some faithful prophets who were the ones responsible for the schools of the prophets, or for the sons of the prophets. And speaking of sons of prophets per se, that word, Bain Nabi, means not that they were children of the prophets, but that they were prophetic disciples, disciples of other prophets. They were in prophet training. That's what the word means. So these sons of the prophets, the first time they're mentioned, if you would like to turn your Bible to 1 Samuel 10, I'm going to just show you, was the first time these prophets are mentioned in the Bible. And there are several instances in which the prophets are mentioned, but notice, in 1 Samuel 10, we have King Saul coming to make a request. We have Samuel anointing King Saul, and then he's going to give him a few signs. He's going to tell them, you know that you are a king once you see such and such men who found the donkeys that were lost. And then you're gonna see such and such men that are gonna be carrying some goats, and they're gonna carry 3 loaves of bread, and they're gonna give you some. Then notice, for instance, in verses 5, I'm in 1 Samuel 10:5, it's gonna say, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it would happen when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a string instruments, tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. This group of men, these are the prophetic disciples. This is the school of the prophets. And then notice verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. First instance in which the school of the prophets is mentioned in the Old Testament. Of course, Samuel was not the first prophet. Enoch is regarded as a prophet also, but Samuel is the first prophet as far as a successive group of prophets that came after Samuel. So we can consider Samuel, in a way, one of the first prophets. And in the way that he's mentioned in the Bible, he seems to be the director and the founder of this school of the prophets, place for training these younger prophets. And also, these prophets were not celibates. They were not married. We assume they were not married, but some of them were married. But for sure, they were not celibates, as we could believe. Some of them, and you learn in 2 Kings 4:1, that one wife of the sons of the prophets approached the prophet Samuel with that request. So some of them were married. And then also they had dwelling places or type of dorms, we can say that, where they were living. There was one instance in which the sons of the prophets came to Samuel telling them that the places, the quarters where they live was too small for them. So they said, well, let's go ahead and build more place, more place for us to stay. So it looks like they had a place to stay together. And the reason I wanna talk about the school of the prophets, and I wanna make an application for this tonight that I hope you enjoy. It might not have the same effect for you. This presentation was designed for the Monterey School of Preaching, and I wanna make a parallelism with the schools of the prophets and the Monterey School of Preaching. You might not know, but yesterday morning, there was what it was called a Monterey Day in a congregation close to Abilene. What they do is they gather all the sponsors of the Monterey School of Preaching together, and they do reports and presentations. So I was invited to talk about my experience in the Monterey School of Preaching, and I'm really grateful that I've been there. So I said, I'm going to prepare this presentation with all my heart as a thankfulness, to give honor to the school for what they've done with my life and many other people's lives. So you see the logo of the school, and we're going to go parallel with the schools of the prophets, and I'm going to be describing some of the things that you can learn at the school of the prophets that we can find in the Bible for sure, and that you can find specifically applied to the Monterey School of Preaching. I don't know if you heard of the Monterey School of Preaching, but you hear about it now today. And I believe some here are graduates from other schools of preaching or have been involved in other schools of preaching. And maybe there's some that are considering going to a school of preaching. I'm sure this is going to help you see the perspective. So in the first place, what can you learn at the schools of the prophets? Notice, and I'm going to go one by one. I'm going to show you nine things that you can learn at the school of the prophets. In the first place, the first thing you can learn once you go there is to learn about the proper motive to attend a school of preaching. When we think about these prophetic disciples, we see that they had proper motives. Nowadays, there's many different motives for people or thoughts for people to go to school of preaching that are wrong. Some say, well, I'm unfaithful, therefore, if I go to school of preaching, I'm going to become faithful. Well, that's an improper motive. Some say, well, I just lost my job and I need a place for them to take care of me, then I'll go join the school of preaching. That's another improper motive. Some say, well, I just want to increase my knowledge and see what happens. Well, that's an improper motive also. Some say, well, I just want to become famous. I see preachers all the time in YouTube. I want to be in YouTube. I want to make myself known. Well, you know, that's not the right motive either. Some say, well, I don't have anything else to do. I'm going to go. That's not, none of those are proper motives to join the school of preaching. I met, I need to move fast. I'm going to tell you that illustration later. I need to move fast. Okay? Now, what were the requirements for these prophetic disciples to join the school of the prophets? There are three main requisites that they had to meet. First, they needed to be have a righteous character in their life. Second, a deep respect for the Word of God they must have. And third, a driving desire to serve God and His cause. Three requisites. Once you fulfill that, you can be a prophetic, a disciple of the prophets. Now, these are good motives for one to join a school of preaching. And this is what you learn when you attend a school of preaching. Not only that, but also, you also learn, second place, you learn to organize your support. If you realize, you might not realize, but it's highly doubtful that these prophetic disciples were paid for what they were doing. They either supported themselves by themselves by doing another trade, or they either dependent on free will offerings on behalf of those who they help spiritually. So these men had a big need to proper organization of their income. They don't have that financial independence that others could have, because they depend, as far as speaking at in general, of a prophetic disciple, how they manage. So this is what we have in this example. There's one instance where a King Saul comes to Samuel asking for a request, and then they say, well, but what are we going to bring him? We need to bring him something. And that implies that they depended on free will offerings from those who they benefited spiritually. So this is something you learn at the School of the Prophets. And then students learn to be immensely grateful for the help they receive. They, without realizing it, the students at any school of preaching, they become experts in management, money management. And I do remember when I was in Monterey School of Preaching, and we have sufficient, we don't complain, but that doesn't give you an opportunity to go to fancy places. And somehow, someone recommended me when I was dating Nancy to go to such place, and I don't know why I pay attention to them, but I said, well, let's go. And they never been to that place, and as we walked in, and I said, well, everything looks fine. This looks like a okay place, an affordable place to come for us, student of preaching to come. Well, sure enough, a man wearing white gloves opens the door for us. We didn't even get to touch that door. Walk inside, there's live music playing, violin and piano. And I said, where are we? And then we were embarrassed enough to just walk back. And so we went ahead and sat down, and I tell you, that was an experience. This is funny now, but it made us, at least made me, a sweat, cold sweat back then. But you learn to manage yourself once you are in the School of the Prophets. It's a different type of money situation, but it is always complete by God. You never lack anything. So that's something else you learn. But notice, not only do you learn that, but you also learn, number three, to negate yourself. If you want to go to school of preaching thinking that you're the man, thinking that you are the one, you are the most knowledgeable one, you are the smartest one, you want to beat everybody else and you stand out, that is not the right attitude to attend a school of preaching. And we see this in the examples we have in the Bible with these prophetic disciples. And because these men, as we can see in the Bible, they were not lovers of material wealth. They were not idol worshippers, even though they grew up in a generation that idols were the trend. Even Israel was being an idol worshipper. If you remember, that's why they were punished by God, because they were idol worshippers. So they were not, these students, they were not idol worshippers. They neither were lazy nor indifferent to the work they were to do. They were men of honesty. They were men of integrity that were there, and they were not skeptics or doubters of the word of God. This is the type of men, and this, it takes, you need to negate yourself in order to be able to do so, have these qualities. And some of the qualities that they had, positive qualities they had, these men were lovers of God's word. These men wanted others to know God and his will, and wanted to let it know to everybody. This is the desire they had. They were dependable. You can tell them to go and do something, they'll do it. And they were resourceful. They wore many hats and were ready to go to work, put hands on working. They were submissive to their teachers. Now, you've seen students, and I've seen a lot of students, even in school of preaching, that they think they know more than the professor. And that's just not negating yourself. You're just putting yourself in the spotlight. And that's not what it is about. So you learn to negate yourself. It takes a Christian attitude to avoid envy, to avoid jealousy, to avoid destructive criticism among fellow students. It takes that Christian attitude to, you must put yourself down and lift up Christ if you want to be a prophetic disciple. So this is something you learn at this school. You remember John 4, and I don't think it's there, no, but John 4, 34 reads, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish His work. Notice, it is His work. Sometimes we think it is my work. And I make the decisions. And I do what I want. And I'm not accountable to anyone. Because this is my job. And then I'm the most important one in the group. It is not our work. We are invited. We are honored to be had an invitation extended for us to participate in the spreading of the gospel. So it's not about us. It's about uplifting Christ. That's what it is about. So it takes, you need to negate yourself. So you're getting a glimpse of what you learn at the School of the Prophets. Now let me show you this. This is particularly to the Monterey School of Preaching. You might find this very interesting. But at Monterey School of Preaching, they make a big emphasis on taking notes in the margins of your Bible. I don't know if you have the habit of doing so, but this is very handy when it comes to getting you on the spot or asking you to teach a class on the spot or somebody has a question just out of the sudden and you're not prepared. Well, let me show you. This is some pictures of my Bible when I was a student. And you see there's not many space, there's not a lot of space at the margin. So you become a really expert in writing along those lines. And let me show you, it's another picture, same Bible, another page, you see, and that's something. You see, most of the students graduated from the Monterey School of Preaching, you see them, they're proud of their Bibles. They won't trade it for anything, and they won't sell it for anything. I remember Brother David Cardenas, he's the director, a few years ago, he went to a bank to pay a bill, he was carrying his Bible, as he does usually, leaves the bank, goes home, lo and behold, his Bible is gone. Well, he went all the way to appear on TV, offering a money reward for anyone who found his Bible. And this is the reason he has all his life notes in there. He never found it, and he got into working to a new one. But you see, you learn to take notes. And let me show you, this is an English version now, and English has the benefit of having some white margin Bibles, and so now you see there's more space. And I don't expect anybody to understand what I wrote. I'm the only one that can read that. And sometimes I'm not even able to read it. So that's what you learn at the School of Preaching. Take notes. You know, you learn this skill at school, but I took school in Spanish, and this skill stayed with me long after I was in Monterey. So this is something I owe to the School of Preaching. Okay? Not only do you learn to take notes, but only you learn to evangelize. When I was school, at Monterey School of Preaching, they say, there's a man, there's a brother coming, he's going to teach us a method to evangelize. And sure enough, he came a few months later. And I'm going to tell you, I thought I knew how to evangelize, but I learned a more effective way. And I owe this to the Monterey School of Preaching. And I can go into the details of how that method works, but it would just take time, and I'm very conscious and mindful of the time. I want you to still be my friend, so I'm always mindful of the time. I don't want to go too far beyond of the time. So, but I learned to evangelize. That's the bottom line. They taught me how to do it. They taught me how to manage interest, how to avoid discussions, how to avoid debates at the door, and how to get people interested in a Bible study. And then once they're interested in a Bible study, how to conduct a Bible study. Not go straight to the gospel plan of salvation right away when they don't know anything about repentance, they don't know anything about sin, they don't know anything about the foundation blocks of the truth, and then I want him to be converted the first day. And that's just not how it works. And I owe this to the Monterey School of Preaching. That stuck with me also. I keep on teaching when I have the opportunity this method, Fisher to Man, this method to evangelize. Well, not only did I learn to evangelize, but notice, when you're a prophetic disciple, you learn to rely completely on God. We all should rely completely on God. But when you quit your job, when you quit your business, when you quit your business because you want to go full-time into a school of preaching, you see the dependence of God face to face. Why? Because you're going to realize that even though you quitted your job, you're not going to lack any food. You're not going to lack any clothing. You're not going to lack anything that you need to make it through. And then notice this couple of Bible verses that I have here. Matthew 6:33, we learn, student, prophetic disciple learn to live in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But notice Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. That's a wonderful verse for us to experience and to live by. And all of us are amenable to this verse. So all of us can benefit from what this verse says. But not only that, let me show you more. We also learn to retain. Okay, retain what? Notice there's a Bible verse right here in 2 Timothy 1:13, and it says, hold fast to the parting of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The Spanish version says, retain. And there are synonyms, hold fast and retain, same thing. Retain the pattern. And this is an emphasis. The prophetic disciples studied under men like Elijah, and Samuel. These men were synonyms of truth. These men spoke where God spoke. These men were faithful to the message. They didn't change the message. They didn't shy away because the message, they said, well, that's too strong. I'm not going to say that. They were pillars of the truth of God. And these prophetic disciples were students of them. And I'm sure they likely had that same attitude to retain that pattern that was passed to them by God. And this is what you learn at the School of Preaching. The School of Preaching at Monterey, for example, has faithful preachers that they care about what God said. They tell you what the Bible says, and they hold fast to the pardon. They don't hold fast to their own interests. They don't hold fast to their own promotion. They hold fast to serving God and His purposes and respect the Word of God. And this is what you learn also as a prophetic disciple. If you remember thinking about the prophetic disciples back in the Old Testament, I mentioned that they lived under a time where there was a lot of idolatry. Idolatry was something common. If you say, well, I worship this idol, nobody was going to tell you anything. You can fit right in. But it was not popular to be under Samuel or Elijah or Elisha taking classes to be a prophet. That was not something that people say, where are you? I'm a prophet. Oh, what? That was not something popular. That was something that people didn't like. In fact, they persecuted the prophets. But here we see these prophetic disciples. They're men who were equipped in character. They were equipped in consecration for God, in the message, in their motive. They were equipped in love, in life. They were completely equipped to follow God's word to the end, no matter what happened. We have a wonderful example of these prophets. And then we come to this modern day and age, and then we see people doing the contrary. And we say, well, how come? Well, the motive is not correct many times. So maybe we can give a lot of explanations, but that's not the point today. We're pointing the good qualities that a man of God should have. But not only that, and I'm approaching, moving little by little to the end. We have two more. Number eight, as a prophetic disciple, you also learn to be enthusiastic about your preaching, about what you're doing. You need to have conviction. You need to be sure of what you're teaching and teach it with passion. Teach it with that secureness that you know that what you're teaching is correct. And then same thing happened with these prophetic disciples. They learn from their masters. They learn from the teachers. And this is what they did. And they learned to be enthusiastic. For instance, there's an instructor, and he passed away. And you probably never met him, but his name was Samuel Solis. He was an instructor back in Monterey. And he always gave us an advice. So you preach with passion, preach 30 minutes, and just get down. And I'll tell you, some have taken his advice, some have not taken it. But I'll tell you, those who took his advice have seen many open doors in the ministry. I don't know why they liked him. Sometimes they liked him a little more. But then, Brother Samuel Solis was not only very enthusiastic in the way he spoke. He was very homiletical. He had everything in order. You can follow him and you can remember his outline, even when you left the building. And he put emphasis on that to us. You need to preach homiletically, make sense. The points need to relate one to another, make a logical progression, and then you put emphasis. And when you reach the conclusion, hit with the bang, and then sit down, and that's it. Don't repeat yourself. Don't go beyond the time allowed. And something interesting and something really funny about him is that he also was a music instructor. Now, you're going to find this probably funny, I hope. I might get weary of telling jokes that don't make you laugh, but hopefully this one will. But he had five, we were in music class, and then we had five, he had several benches. But then he had five benches, or pews, excuse me. First one was for, you know, the first voice of the women. Second one was the other second voice of the women, and then one for the tenor, and then one for the bass. And then he had a fifth one. The fifth one was called the silent. And he had several students there sitting at the silence pew. And I'm not going to tell you which one I was sitting on. We can talk about it later, but I'm not going to tell you, but that's the way he was. And he was a really good, enthusiastic preacher. Now, approaching the end, last thing you learn, and same thing applies in the example of the prophetic disciples, is that you learn to be a true yoke fellow in the ministry. In the ministry, you cannot be alone. It's not about you alone. It's not about exalting yourself and hurting people on the way and just getting what I want no matter what. You need to learn to be a true yoke fellow. You need to learn to encourage, to support, to be a true comrade of your fellow students, of your fellow workers. And this is something that you learn. It's really sad when students leave school and they attack their own classmates. And some even go to the point of attacking their own instructors. I don't see any of these prophetic disciples doing this. Attacking Samuel? Attacking Elijah? I don't think they did. Other people attack them and try to kill them, but not them. They love their teachers. And they enjoy working together as bond servants of Christ, as bond servants of God. That's something you learn at the School of Prophetic Disciples. You need to be a true yoke fellow. You need to have friends, support each other. They support you, you support them, and then leave envy and jealousy away. That's not part of the work. Attacking somebody else is not part of the work. Sad when a friend that you sat next to him for a few years, and then, lo and behold, out of the sun, he's attacking you. He's attacking the school. That's just not what God is calling us to do. Same thing applies in the church. So what can we say as a conclusion? Because I'm just a couple of minutes short. God Almighty has always trained men to serve him. Has not left them on their own. And we see this example on these prophetic disciples. And this is continuous on in these days, nowadays. People are being trained. And they need our prayers. They need our support in whatever way we can support them. So that there can be more ministers, more preachers to go out and preach the gospel. Sometimes there's a drop rate at the school. Sometimes not everybody makes it for the school, and there's different things, and we need more people that can full-time work in the ministry and do this type of job. And then what lessons can we learn? And I'm going to finish this in about a minute. Number one, we can learn from the schools of the prophets what type of teachers we need. We need teachers like these prophets, Samuel, Elijah, and Elisha. We need teachers like them. We also can learn from the schools of the prophets what type of students we need. We see the students that were respectful of the professors, that were faithful to the Word of God, they were really respectful of their job, their duty, and this is the type of students we need. Number three, we learn from schools the proper curriculum that we need for a school. And that curriculum, proper curriculum, is the Word of God. Someone said, if you allow any of these young men at the school to leave the school knowing more about a secular subject, about a secular book, knowing more about the Bible, then you might as well just close the door of the school and close it. Because they come there to study the Bible, and that's what we need to reinforce. That's the curriculum that needs to be stressed. And then we learn, also we can learn from these schools of prophets, there's a great need to encourage more young men to go into the ministry full time. This is, there's an example there in the Monterey School of Preaching. They're doing so. And they need every encouragement possible that we can give them. Now, you don't need to be a prophetic disciple in order to go to heaven. All you have to do is obey the gospel. You might have already done it. And you might be needing the prayers of the church. We will be happy to do so on your behalf. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, why not do it tonight? It's really sad when you see accidents here in San Angelo. And there was just an accident in HEV a couple of days ago. And just sad when you see that, you never know. So don't take any chances. Believe in the word of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as the Son of God and be put Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins and remain faithful for the rest of your life. If there's any way you can respond and we can assist you to this invitation, please do so while we stand and while we sing.